praise the Lord. It's a blessing to be with you all again this morning. Just thank the Lord for His goodness and mercy to us. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Father, we come before You this morning and we thank You again for Your goodness and Your mercy. Lord, we just ask Your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, we ask that You'd fill us with Your Spirit, that You'd give us wisdom, Father, an understanding of Your will, Your way, Your word. Father, help us again, Lord, to do Your will, bring glory to You. Again, we just thank You for all that You do for us. Help us to be faithful again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Read a verse here. Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 12 is where I want to read from. Begin. God is speaking to Solomon, and He's laying out some things, giving him a vision, giving him wisdom, showing him how to respond when he sees certain situations or what needs to happen. You know, I think a lot of times we are a pretty result oriented people. You know, when we see something happen, we want to see results. We see something and we need to do something about it. We want to take care of it. It's a result based people, and that's a good thing. And what I want to point out this morning is the importance of really seeing what's happening to prompt us to an action. You know, the idea of a cause and effect. You know, we teach people that we're responsible for our own actions. And that the things that happen, we try to instill our children that if they do wrong, there's a consequence to it. Or whenever there's something that's out of line, whenever we do something, we plant a seed, a fruit will grow. And so whenever we're doing something that's wrong, that there is a consequence for it. And on the same hand, by doing right, that there's a consequence for that as well. So let's just begin reading here in verse 12. It says, "Then the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said to him, 'I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice.' Then he says, 'If I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or if I command the locust to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people,'" what I want to, you know, we're pretty familiar with verse 14, the next verse that we're reading, but we often miss this little part of it. And I want to emphasize, just like in Romans chapter 1, the Bible says that where it talks about the things that are going on in the time, he says, God gave them over to a corrupt mind in one place. And God gave them over to their own desires. And I want to just show you that God also is a God that works on cause and effect. That's where we get the whole principle. That's where we get the idea of sowing and reaping. That if people get to a certain place, God, just going along with the things that He's established, He's going to react and going to respond a certain way I mean, these things are just basically concrete. I mean, this is just the way it will happen. Just like sowing and reaping. You sow a seed, you'll reap a harvest of what seed you plant. And in that same way, that's the way God will work. And he said, if I shut up heaven. Here he's talking about, you know, these were people that were living in the land and their very life depended on it raining. And in the Old Testament, a lot of the things, God just worked the land because that's what people lived off of. I mean, this is their life. And so whenever there was prosperity in the world or in the land, and because it was raining. And then he said, or if I send a locust to devour the land. He's given a picture. If you're living your lives and all of a sudden the rain stops and everything that grows is devoured, there's a problem. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. See, there was disease and bugs and drought that he's talking about here. It's always been. It's something that God put in, but here he is the one. He said, if I send a drought, or if I send a pestilence, or if I send the locust to devour the land, if I do this, it's a sign for them, him, he's telling Solomon, wake up. I'm trying to get your attention. You know, here he was talking about people in the land, living off the land. But you know, if we will look at that in a spiritual sense, the same way, if we'll look at this, the dryness, the drought in the land. You know, whenever we look at the spiritual situation of the world is in, we're in a drought. You know, you just don't hear about revivals going on. There's just a dryness. You know, we preach and we talk to people and just hardly anything going on. That is a signal to us that there's a drought. Or if I command the locusts to devour your land, you know. If I command the locusts, you know, we can look at religion and how it's just, I compared this, I preached this several years ago, you know, that you could just go see people, the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons, and they're just going out and it's almost like locusts just devouring, trying to devour the land. And we're almost past that place anymore. But there's just a locus of people just trying to devour the land. And they're just kind of taking all the oxygen out of the room. But people who take a false gospel or a gospel that's missing what God wants us to hear, and they're just quickly go spread all over the world. And this is the warnings here. You know, he's not talking about there's droughts all over. There's droughts all over the world. God gives the rain to the good and the just. But he's talking here about a spiritual drought, a spiritual locust. And then pestilence. You know, whenever we look at the world today, and we see things happening that we never dreamed of happening. Poison, that they're just the spiritual climate of this world today. They've thrown God out of the schools. They're trying to throw him out of all the government. They're trying to throw him out of everything. And we wonder why there's such corruption, such sin, shootings, the homosexuality, all of that stuff is just rampant. It's a pestilence. It's a pestilence. It's a disease. And God gave it. God allowed it to happen. If He sends it, God turned them over. Not that He wants this, but this is a result of people neglecting Him. Taking the fruit of the good things of what He's given and just using it for evil. It's a result, it's cause and effect. A sowing and a reaping and a sowing. A sowing and a reaping. It's the way things operate in the world. And He says, whenever you see those things, here's the opportunity for us. You know, we see it going on. We're sickened by some of the things going on in the world that's passing for normal. It's sickening. And it's just becoming, trying to make it so commonplace. But it's a pestilence. It's a disease. It's a curse. It's not, you know, a lot of times we think, you know, if we act this way for very long, God's going to curse us. No. This is the curse from God. This is the curse. The perversions that are going on, it is the curse. The judgment will come, but this is the curse where God is, okay, you want that? Here you go. And that's what He's trying to tell Solomon. When you see all these things happening, know that I've sent those things. It's a result of the people being not where they're supposed to be. Then I want to read on. Verse 14, this is the popular verse that people hear about. Here we've had the effect. Now, here's what he says. But if my people who are called by my name, who's he talking to? He's talking to you and me. He's talking to people who profess to truly be the sons of God. His people. Not people, just anybody that calls on His name. His people. He was talking to Solomon. And this was the chosen people of the time. And that same prayer goes out, or that same request goes out, that same opportunity for sowing and reaping goes out. We're living in the time where we're living under God's curses on the earth. The droughts, the pestilence, the locusts, the bad things that are going on in a spiritual sense. If my people will humble themselves and pray. I'm just going to stop right there with that verse, and I'm going to turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. Hold your finger there because we'll go back and forth here a little bit maybe. Chapter 6, verse 12. Says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. You know, we're living in Satan's world. And the only reason that we notice or even care about what's going on is because we've seen a little bit of light and know that there's a better way. You see, the people in the world, you know, we think, well, how can they be so silly? How can they be so foolish to believe what they believe? How can they even accept some of the things that are going on as being normal? Why is it that the world can just go crazy, it seems like, and they think there's nothing wrong? It's because this world is under Satan's influence. the rulers in high places, the communities, the states, the nations are all have rulers over them. And when those rulers are allowed to be unrestrained, they're just going to do crazy things in the world. That's the way it's always been. That's the way they are. It's demonic power. It's the devil's influence on this world. And they have different places. You know, in Daniel it talks about the prince of Persia. He was going to go someplace, but the prince of a certain country didn't allow it for 21 days. They were wrestling. There was battles going on. While Daniel was praying and asking for requests for strength from another area, and the prayer wasn't heard for days because there was a battle going on in the spiritual realm in high places. That's still going on today. And when we see darkness covering the land, it's because these spiritual powers have gained power, because the ground that they have, the foundation that they have, is stronger than that of the righteousness. There's a big war going on. And here is our place. We're living in this world, and Satan is getting power and gaining power because there's more people. There's more people giving him power than there are people trying to deny him power. You know, the battle of, or you know, Abraham and, you know, and Noah. When Noah, you know, there was 8 people that were saved out of the whole world. He had to destroy the rest of it because there wasn't enough people to preserve it. Abraham, whenever he was going into Sodom and Gomorrah, he asked if there would be 100 people there, if he would spare it. And God said he would. And he went all the way down to where there wasn't enough. See, it's because this power is growing and growing and growing. And it's the light of the world. It's the salt of the earth that preserves the rest of the world. And when we lose our saltiness, the earth is good for nothing but to be trod under the feet of men. That's what he's trying to tell Solomon here. When you see all these things happen, it's because the powers that be are being given powers, and God's letting them have it because that's what they want. You know, we have the rulers. God gives us the rulers that we want and that we deserve. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. You know, we see people and we think, how are they so crazy? How are they so foolish? We're looking at flesh and blood. We should be looking at them and say, why are they so fat? Why is it this way? It's because there's powers in heavenly places that are giving them power to do that. Let's go back. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You know, one of the things that come with being delivered and set free a lot of times is complacency. Whenever we have things that are going right and going good, one of the things that begin to settle in is a pride of, oh, we've got it going on. That's where, that's why he starts out with, my people will humble themselves. You know, we're here because the only thing we see, the only reason we're any different than anybody else is because of God's grace. Humble ourselves to see that it's nothing that I've earned of my own. I've nothing that I merit of my own. It's because God has shown me a little bit of light and shown me a better path and a better direction. We're no better than anybody else. It's just amazing to me how God has left that little gate ajar open for me. You see people that I've see people that I've grown up with and lived with all my life that are just blind to anything going on. And why did I see anything? Should humble us. My people will humble themselves. Who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face. You see, we recognize the problem. Now we have something to do. Now we have something that can change the cause and effect, that can plant some seeds. Humble ourselves and pray and seek his face. You know, it's not good enough just to be a model person. You know, we've got the lifestyle down to where we can just get along with each other and tolerate each other and love each other. It's a good thing. But there's more to it than that. Are we seeking his face? Are we humbling ourselves? Or are we just kind of getting proud because, boy, we got this down here. We're doing pretty good. Humble yourselves. Pray. Seek his face. And it says, and turn from their wicked ways. You know, if we forget God in any way, and aren't, it's a wicked way. You know, whenever we think that we can do it all our own, it's a wicked way. You know, we might not have to, you know, we can't even believe what's going on, and we look out among ourselves, judge among ourselves, and we see, boy, I'm glad we're not caught up with that. You know, I'm doing pretty good. Look at the rest of the world around me. The Bible says people that do that are not wise. And I think it's pretty wicked, for one thing, to get to that state of complacency, to exalt ourselves so high above that. You know, turn from their wicked ways. You know, a lot of times we think, well, what would I ever turn from? Well, there's one staring you right in the face, if that's the way you're thinking, but you can't see it. And turn from their wicked ways. Here's cause and effect. If my people will do these things, if my people will do these things, humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, it says, then I will hear from heaven and will be merciful to their sins and heal their land. See, right there's the cause and effect. Right there is the result. But here's how you get that result. We'll humble ourselves and pray. Seek his face. And seek his face. Like I said, we get a lot of good things down, but are we seeking his face? That's how the tide is turned. That's how the land is healed. That's how things change. It's not just because of our super actions. It's not just because of our great love that we have. If God's not a part of it, it just won't last. We can internalize our love, but it doesn't help the world at all. And our principal purpose of our love is to give it to the world, or provide it, to have something to offer for them. Now let's go back to Ephesians. Chapter 6, verse 10. It says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." You know, whenever we can do all these things all by ourselves, we don't really need His strength. We really don't need His might. And that's part of that turn from your wicked ways. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." You know, when we're strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, that brings an amazing rest, an amazing peace, because we're trusting in Him and not just our own performance. We can have a rest in our own performance, but it's a false one. But when we're trusting in His strength and His might to get us through, and it says, "Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." See, the schemes of the devil. He's got a way. He's got a plan. And it's all spelled out how he operates. We're not ignorant of his devices. And then it says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And it says, "Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist the evil day and have done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one." You know, if we don't have faith, that's our shield to withstand the fiery thoughts, the fiery darts that the devil is hurling at us. We're in a war. And those things that trouble us, those things that beset us, those things that devour us, consume us, we're missing the shield of faith. You know, when we allow the gloom and the discouragement to pierce us, to come in, we're missing the faith. We're to stand firm in the Lord and the power of His might. Resist those things. We are the victors, as gloomy as it might appear at times. Christ will win this war. He has it all in His hands. And all these things that are happening, they're predicted to happen. And they have to do all of this before He returns. But we can be found faithful. We can still be strong. And we can still be happy and joyful if we're trusting and resting in Him, the power of His might. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. With this in view, be on the alert with the perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. If my people will humble themselves and seek my face, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face." You see, if we don't see the problem, there is no need to be praying. There is no need to seek His face. There's a drought, and we don't even know it. Locusts are devouring the world, and we don't even know it. Pestilence is all around us. And all we do is complain about the darkness. All we have to do is turn on the light. Used to be a little song that says, getting used to the dark. People that get used to the dark at first complain about it. They bellyache about it. And then it gets a little darker and they bellyache some more. But their eyes adjust and they see it get a little darker and they complain a little more. And it just keeps going until they're completely used to the dark. But it doesn't have to be that way. Instead of just complaining about it, God gave us a recipe. Humble yourself. Seek His face. Pray. May the Lord have His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? That's one I didn't bring out, but we're not fighting politicians. We're not fighting political parties. We're not fighting governments. That's not where the battle is. Our battle's with spiritual things. They're there because God has put them there, allowed them there, because of the lack, because of missing those things. Anyway, all right, well, God bless you all. Meet back at 6:00, Lord willing. Part peace.